Am I on? Come on in. We're going to get started with the message. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 2. I'm going to have Obi come up. He is going to read for us today. Wanted to introduce Obi again as Obi from Missouri. So come on down, Obi. He's going to read the word for us this morning.
Morning, church. Actually, my name is Obinna, but use the short form Obi because Obi-Wan Kenobi, you remember that. Yes. Like I said, it means the heart of the Father or God's mind. I'll be reading today Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 22, and I'll be reading from the ESV. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 13 to 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, and so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole scripture, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him also, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of God.
Amen. Thanks, Obi. Well, we are in a series called Identity in Christ, in which we're talking about things that should mark our lives. As followers of Jesus, we want to have the things that God calls us to define our lives. We want to have our lives marked by those things. And so we're doing a seven-part series on this. This actually, it corresponds to one of the things that we've rolled out in the church is a different approach to small groups, and we're doing things a little bit differently in that, trying to have Bible studies and also connect with others, talk about what God's doing in our life. But we also felt like we needed to have some targeted readings on that, where we're getting people into the Word and targeting some key areas. And so these key areas, we actually have Bible study packets in the back. If you're interested in that, you think, hey, I'd like to do a Bible study, or looking for something for me and some friends to go through, we've got these in the back, and they kind of lead you through walking people through this material. And so for the last few weeks, we've covered, I believe we have a slide with some of the things that we have hit. We've talked about how what God is doing for us in Christ, it changes everything. He's making us into worshipers, where we want to worship and celebrate what he's done for us. We want to worship and celebrate who he is. We're also followers. We want to follow Jesus. We want to live as he calls us to live. We want to make sure we're in his word and doing what he says to do. We want to be witnesses. We want to share about what God has done. Just as we had a time of sharing today, it encourages other people. We want to think about how God is calling us to be an encourager to other people. Also stewards. We want to steward everything that we have. It's a gift from God. We want to steward it. We want to be faithful to him. But the other one that we're going to talk about today is family members. We're family members. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we can be reconciled to God. Our sins separated us from God. They separated us, brought us into enmity with God. We need forgiveness of sins, and we have that in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, our sins can be forgiven. In Jesus, we can have new life with God. There's a vertical change that happens through Christ. But what Christ is also doing has a horizontal effect. As we are reconciled to God, we are brought into relationships with other people. It changes the way we relate to others, particularly it changes the way we relate with other believers. We recognize that in Christ, we have God as a Father. So that means that in Christ, we are brothers and sisters. We're a family. And so church, it should be a family. A lot of times we think about church, church, it's that building that we go to a couple times a year. It's that building. You know, church isn't a building in the New Testament. The church, it's a people. It's a community. And so that's what we're trying to build here at Radiant Church. It's about a community of people that are focused on worshiping God and serving Him. We've got to see that as God does that in Him, we are brought into relationships with others. We're brought into a family, and that there's blessings with that. There are also responsibilities. I think that this is probably one of the most neglected teachings of Scripture today. I think it's probably one of the most problematic issues that's out there. Because a lot of times we think about church, well, it's just, you know, I want to go and hear a great message. And, you know, it comes down to our view of church is little more than watching a TED Talk, right? Love watching TED Talks. Man, they're inspiring. I read, hey, you know, let's go do this. But I'm not brought into relationship with anybody else. Nobody knows me. I still remain anonymous. And as we think about what Jesus calls us to, you know, we love to hear that Jesus died for our sins so that I can be the best version of myself. Isn't that great to hear? Like, we love to hear that. And there's a little bit of truth to that. There is truth. Jesus, He came that we might have fullness of life. Scripture says that. But there's also a cost of following Jesus. There's a cost that we have to sacrifice things. He said, we're going to have to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. We're going to have to take up our cross daily. And talking about church, it's one of those things that all of a sudden serving Jesus can become inconvenient, right? Wait, I'm good serving Jesus. Just, you know, He's here to make all my dreams come true. What do you mean? I'm supposed to sacrifice time on Sunday morning for this? Man, I got a football game. I got all these other things to go to, right? But if we're going to follow Jesus, part of identifying with Him means that we identify with His people. That we identify with what He is doing, not just in me, but in us as a community, what He's doing in us as a family. As we identify with Christ, we begin to identify with His people. That's what we're called to do. That's what He calls us to. And so we have to make sure that we have a biblical understanding of church. And in today's the day and age of today, you can watch things online, you can be anonymous in church, as well as just all the other challenges that are out there. We've got to see that one of the great blessings that God has for us, one of the ways that we're going to be nourished is through the church. One of the ways we're going to be strengthened in our walk with God is through the church, through being with other people. And so we want to talk about this today. The church is an organized family of believers. The church is an organized family of believers that are experiencing the grace of God and sharing in the privileges and responsibilities of making Christ known. That's what the church is. So as you come to follow Christ, you're brought into the church, an organized family of believers experiencing the grace of God and sharing in the privileges and responsibilities of making Christ known. So let's kind of break this down. I don't expect you to know that whole statement, but that's kind of where we're going today. So let's talk about church as a family. Church is a family. What do you think of when you think of church? Do you think of the people? Do you think of the camaraderie? It's very countercultural. Most people just think of church as it's a place you go. It's a building. It's got a steeple on the top. But it's a community. And in this passage, we see how God is working in people. He's working in people and bringing them together. Some of the things that as you read this passage, you see that it's talking about that they were once separated. There's once this separation. They were separated from God, but there was also a separation from other people. You read this passage, and it talks about a Jewish-Gentile division. I know that's a little bit foreign to us today, but back in the day, that was one of the biggest divisions culturally that there was. The Israelites were the people of God. God revealed himself to their forefathers. They had the promises of God. They were a distinct people. And they didn't associate with others that weren't of their faith. There was the Jew-Gentile distinction. If you were Jewish, you were part of the community of God. Gentiles was everybody else. And in the temple, there was actually barriers where if you were a Gentile, you could only go so far into the temple. You could only be in the courtyard of the Gentiles. You couldn't move to the inner part. So there were all kinds of social barriers. There were physical barriers in the temple. There were social barriers. There were obviously prejudices and predispositions and all these other things that happen when you have people groups that are separated racially. But something amazing happened in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, people that were separated from God could be brought near. And it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it means that every race, every nation has fallen short of the glory of God. And that we can now be brought in, not because of our race, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the work of Christ, people say the ground at the foot of the cross is level. It brings us all down. Doesn't matter you're black, white, brown, whatever. We're all sinners. And in Christ, we can be forgiven. And so it brings us all in the same footing. We all need a Savior. And if we're saved by grace through what Christ has done, then we are brought in. We all have one Father. God is our Father. We're looking to Him. We're honoring Him. And so that means all that these barriers that people create, all these barriers that societies create, those are broken down. That's what it talks about in this passage. The dividing wall of hostility is broken down. And so these people that likely would not have associated before being reconciled in Christ, all of a sudden they're being brought in. All of a sudden you have Jews and Gentiles in one church hanging out together. And what he's telling them right here is that you're the household of God, saying you're a family. You have God as your Father. So you're all brothers and sisters. This was shaking up the world at this time. The barriers that just seemed unbreakable are all of a sudden broken down. And people are being brought together. They're being brought together in Jesus Christ. And this is the church. People that may be so different in so many ways, and yet because of Jesus, they have everything in common. They have the same Father. They're looking to honor Him. You know, I was actually thinking, you know, Saturday, I'm sure most of you guys probably watched a little bit of football, right? Everybody watched a little American football. You know, one of the things when you see football, the offensive team is out on the field, they'll often look to the sideline to see what is the coach telling us to do, what play. They all turn and they're looking at the person sending the signals in. They're getting on the same page. Doesn't matter what the other 100,000 of people in that stadium are doing. Those guys are looking to the person sending the play in so they know what to do. That's a picture of the church. All the world that's out doing all kinds of stuff, but we are looking to our Father for what are we to do in life? How are we to think? That's what the church is to be. We're looking to Him. We're all looking to the same one, to what is your purpose and plan for my life? What am I called to do? That's what the church is supposed to be. We are looking to Jesus. We're focused on Him. And as we do that, we are brought into the deepest level of human relationship. You ever get tired having conversations like, man, I was at the office and all they wanted to do was talk about the latest project? Or I went to so-and-so, hey, we had a good time, but all we did was talk about sports. Right, guys? We do that a lot. We just talk about sports. Hey, it's fun. There's a place for talking about it. But how do you experience a deeper level of relationship? Well, a lot of times we have that. We're like, we spent time with people, but I just felt like we didn't go very deep. It should be in the church where we can talk about, man, I'm really hurting in this area. I'm waiting on God to do this. I'm looking to Him. You know, I feel like God has called me to do this, but I have these obstacles. I'm trying to sort through that. Man, when you start talking about that, you start relating to other people on just a deeper level, a deeper level than just talking about your work in the office or talking about sports. You're talking about what God is doing in your life. You can share about the longings that you have and how you're waiting for Him. That's powerful. That's having a family that is rooted in something else. That's having a family that is rooted and built together on our relationship with God and what He's doing in the world, what He's doing in us. And when we start talking about that, we're brought into a level of encouragement that you just don't find other places. You can talk about sports all day long. That's not really going to help your marriage, right? We need to know, what is God doing? We get together as husbands. How can we sharpen one another in what God is doing in us and through us and in the world? This is the church. The church is a family where we are looking to Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. He is what holds it all together. You know, the cornerstone in old times, they'd build doorways, and the doors would come up, entryways, and they would be made of stones. And so they'd come up, and so that cornerstone was at the top. And it's what drove the support of one side to the other. And it was the weight of each that held it in place. If you didn't have that cornerstone, it would all collapse and fall inward. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church. He's the cornerstone of our lives and what we're doing. And so when we have that as the cornerstone, we're brought into being able to love and support others, where we feel that love and support, and we're also able to give it and provide it to others. As you think about your earthly family, we need a spiritual family. Our earthly families, they're often there for us when we go through the ups and downs in life, even more so our church family, being with us to remind us that, hey, God hasn't left you. I know this is a challenge, but He's with you. Keep looking to Him. We need that encouragement, that spurring one another on, that love that is focused on God and in encouraging and spurring each of us on. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's a family. It's a family that is focused on Christ and what He is doing in us. We want to be that type of family, right? And so there's a privilege in that. There's also a responsibility that comes with that, because it means, well, we should be investing our lives into that. We should be investing our time. You know, I was reading a book recently, and they were talking about the challenges of our culture, the challenges of a post-Christian culture. And it was really interesting, because one of the things that he said, the way he is seeing this post-Christian culture, the way that he's seeing the effect of it, is in fragility. Fragility. People are fragile. We break down. We fall apart. We don't have a whole lot of support, so it feels like we are always walking on ice. We're anxious. We're worried. We're fearful. And he says one of the things that we need is, we need relationships that are stable, but one of the things that we least want to do is take time away from me and myself and my agenda and spend it with others. If you want to have healthy relationships, you've got to spend time. If you want to have a healthy church, we've got to spend time. We've got to make time. We've got to carve that out. If we need relationships that are firm and strong, we've got to take time to do that. That's one of the things that we're supposed to experience in the church. We just have to ask ourselves, hey, are we making this a priority? Am I making family a priority? You know, you think about family. It's so encouraging. You come home for Thanksgiving, and you come in, and all your family is there. They're waiting for you. They're gathering. There's just that encouragement and support. You know, church should be a kind of a weekly Thanksgiving. And if you want to do it a couple times a week, you do that, right? Where you're just gathering, you're being reminded that, hey, we're united together in relationships. Hey, I'm here for you, and you're here for me. And we've got each other's backs. That's one of the things that gathering together, the corporate gathering, it's important. We want to have that. You know, a lot of times people tell me, well, hey, you know, I connect with God in nature. Hey, there's a place for that. But Scripture, one of the things over and over that you see that God uses, kind of the normal way of God working and building up, is through His Word, and it's through relationships that are focused on Him and His Word. As we come together there, as a body, there is an encouragement that we experience in this time that we don't experience out in nature. It's the gathering of God's people. And I hope you see that. I hope you experience it. I hope you see it in God's Word. I hope you experience it when you come to church. That's what we want to be about. We want to be about strengthening one another, encouraging one another, And we also want to see the place of that and invest in it. You know, I always hear people talk about, hey, man, this industry's booming. Let's invest in it. You see that on the news. Hey, this is going up. This is going down. So take money away, put it over here. Well, how about spiritually? What are you investing yourself in spiritually? If you see that God is working in the church, we want to invest ourselves there, right? We want to build into it. We want to be strengthened. We want to see others strong. Well, we invest in the church and what he's doing. We invest in our church family. So that's the first thing. Second thing I want to point out is that the church, it is a family of believers that are experiencing the grace of God. They're experiencing the grace of God. It's people who have surrendered their lives to Christ and are experiencing him. Let's look at this next slide. Pull that up. This is this passage, and it talks about this body in whom the whole structure being joined together. This is the church. It's being joined together. It grows into a holy temple. In him, you're also being built together. These verbs are in the present continuous state. It's happening. It's not past tense. It's not, hey, we've been built together. Hey, we've already grown into it. It means that we're in process. It means that the church isn't perfect. The church is in a state of being built up. We are experiencing the grace of God. You know, there's things in this passage that you see that, yes, they are complete. They've been done. But you also see things that are in the present active state. Yes, we are saved through what Christ has done. Yes, this church has been changed. They've been drawn out of the world. But there's also this sense that they are continuing to be built together. And that's a picture of the church. We're not perfected. We're being perfected. We trust that when Jesus returns, then we're going to be perfected. But right now, we are in a state of growth. We are pursuing him. We're being changed. And so what that means is that we got to know that the church isn't going to be perfect. The church is imperfect people. If it were perfect, I couldn't come in. If it were perfect, you couldn't come in, right? But God is using imperfect people, and he is at work in imperfect people, and the church is imperfect. And that's one of the reasons we gather, because we know we need work. We want God to work on us. We want to put ourselves in position for God to work in our lives and change us. And yes, it means that at times church will disappoint you. Can I just say that? Church will disappoint you. I think it's inescapable, and I think it's essential that the church disappoint you. Because if the church didn't disappoint you, you'd be tempted to just trust in the church. I'm not the Savior. You're not the Savior. The church isn't the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. The church is the community of people that is looking to him, that is telling everybody, hey, nothing else is perfect. Nothing else is worth your trust. Trust in him and him alone. He's the only one that's not going to disappoint you. That's the role of the church. We're the conduit. Don't trust in the church. We want to see the place. God has an important place in the church, but the church is never going to be perfect. And the church isn't going to, don't put all your hope in the church. We put it in Jesus Christ. As we put it in Jesus, we see that he is using this imperfect group of people that has their ups and downs, their good days and bad days, and we want to jump into it because we see him working in this. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So what is Jesus doing in the world? Well, right there, that passage tells us that what he's doing in the world is he is building his church. It's imperfect, but it's where God is working. So if you want to jump into where God is working, if you want to jump into what Jesus is doing in the world, what do you jump into? What do you jump into? The church. That's right. If this is what Jesus is doing and you want to be a part of what he's doing, then we jump into the church. We be a part of that. We don't look at it as just something that's optional. We jump into it as something that is essential. This is part of God's purpose for me. It's part of God's purpose for you. Look, if you want to get in shape, you can stay home and pray about getting in shape, right? I do that sometimes. Do that a fair amount. Lord, I pray I'd lose a few pounds. Pray I'd eat a little bit better. Okay, so you can pray about that. Or there's something else you could do. You could actually go to the gym. I own a gym membership. I don't go there as frequently as I should, but You know, if I want to work out, if I want to get in shape, I can pray, but I can also go to the gym. I can work out and do those things. If you want to grow spiritually, you can pray and do that. I encourage you to do that, but also throw yourself into things that God calls you to do. There's this thing called the spiritual disciplines. Have you heard that? It's a term for the things that God calls us to do to know Him more. We read our word, we read the word. We pray, we go to church. Those are disciplines. They're hard. Sometimes I don't want to wake up in the morning and read my Bible. Sometimes I'd rather stay home and just take a day off. But I know that if I want to know Jesus Christ more, I need to read my word. I know that if I'm going to grow strong in my faith, I need to be around other people. I need to be in church. I need to hear God's word taught and preached. I need to be with other people that are living it out, that it can encourage me. This is what the church is. We're not here because we're perfect. We're here because we want more of Him. We're here because we want to be changed. And we want to be brought into relationships with other people that are pursuing Him. That's what the church is. And I know there's these movements of people today that are turning away from church, turning away from, you know, deconstructing is a term that you hear a lot. And let me tell you this, no church is perfect. And there are some churches that have just made bad decisions on things. No excuse for that. Some of the people who have criticized the church most were the people who were most invested in it. Jesus, He gave His life for the church. He also criticized it. He also told them where they were falling short. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. He brought a lot of critique to the church. Gave his life to building the church. No one was hurt more than Jesus. Paul's right there being hurt by the church, and yet they saw the place of the church. They saw the church in its place of what God is doing in the world. They were committed to it. If you're a Christian, God calls you to be a part of the church. Yes, it's an institution. And we're in a time of anti-institutionalism, right? So hard to get people to want to support something that's bigger than themselves. We're just a me-centered society. Institutions are waning. And let me say that there is a difference between institutions and institutionalism, right? Institutionalism is just, hey, we just want to protect the institution, protect those who are invested, protect the key stakeholders. That's not what God calls us to. He calls us to come together, to be focused on Him. Where we fall short of what He calls us to, we want to call that out. Call it what it is. We're trying to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to exalt people. We're not trying to exalt preferences. We're trying to exalt Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to be about an institution because an institution is something that's composed of many people. Many people with different gifts that can come together and do something together that they couldn't do as isolated individuals. That's what the church is. As we think about experiencing the grace of God, you experience that different when you have other people, when others are using their gifts, when others are sharing what God's doing in their lives, you experience an encouragement that you don't find being isolated and alone. This is what we want to be. We don't want to let the blemishes of the church keep us from being a part of it. Yes, we want to identify those. Yes, we want to deal with those. There's a time that sometimes sins in church need to be called out. There's also times that we need to overlook offenses, just like in your family. If your kids are calling everything out, you never get anything done, right? Hey, you did this. Hey, you did that. Well, yeah, I did this because you did that. It's just like, God, stop. At some point, you just need to share grace with your brother and sister. There are big things that we need to make sure we're calling out. There are also times we just need to forgive and love and move forward. And we do need the wisdom to know the difference in those. But too many people see the blemishes of the church, things that you should probably just forgive and move on and pull out. And we need to see that's part of how God works in us. We learn grace. We learn how to forgive. We help others learn to forgive as well. This is how God is using the church and what He's doing in it. We are experiencing the grace of God. It's active. It's ongoing. And let me also say this. As we think about being a household, there are privileges and there are responsibilities. Some of the imagery, some of the words used for the church, it's a household. It's a fellow citizens. Citizens, there's blessings for being a citizen, and there's responsibilities. We all have to pay taxes, right? It's one of the problems of being a citizen. Well, I got to pay taxes, right? Yes, in every household, there are blessings and there are responsibilities. You know, so many people want a perfect church. So many people want a church that is doing all these different things. Few people are willing to put the time and effort in to help the church get to that place. We want to think about how are we contributing to the health of the church? How are we participating in what God is doing? Yes, we are in a culture that does not like commitment. We are in a culture that pushes aside any form of sacrifice. We don't like to talk about that word. We just want our needs met. We want all of our preferences met. Got to tell you, there's times I hear from people that are looking for churches. I've gotten emails from people that say, hey, I want a church that has this doctrine and teaches it this way, and then they do this and this and this, and they act like this and this and this. And I look at that and I think, man, that sounds like a really fantastic church. I don't think there's any church in the New Testament that ever measured up to that. We can have big expectations, but are we bearing the responsibility to make the church a more encouraging place, a more Christ-exalting place? Are we helping those around us? Are we playing our part in that? Can others depend on you? Some of the other imagery for the church in the New Testament is that it's a body. It's a body, many different parts that are working together. Your body, you need a hand, you need feet, you need a head, you need ears, you need all of those things. And there's an interdependence. You use your arm, you can depend on it. How about in the church? Can people depend on you? Are you there for others? One of the questions I like to ask people is, hey, do you know the needs of anybody around you? We can get so focused just on ourselves and our own needs that we don't even know what's going on. And that can actually cause us trouble. When we're having hardships, we think, I'm the only one. You think you're the only one because you don't know people. You haven't taken the time to get to know them. And to know that there are others that are struggling with things very similar to you. We've got to own our responsibilities in the church. First and foremost, it starts with following Jesus. Following Him, putting Him first, turning aside from the things He calls us to turn away from and embracing His plan for us. It's one of the first things we can do. Best thing you can do for the church is commit your life fully to Jesus Christ. If we haven't done that, then nothing else really matters. We've got to focus on that. That's one of the biggest ones. But then as you think about that, think about, are you caring for others? Are you in relationships with others? Are you committed to being a part of things? You know, one of the things that we're recognizing today is there's this deterioration of people being committed to organizations. Not just church. You know, workplaces, it's hard to find people that are committed. Actually, this book I was reading about the lack of commitment in our society, he actually started going through talking about different organizations that are struggling. One of the things he pointed out was Al-Qaeda. He said even Al-Qaeda, it fell because at one point you had these leaders that were radical and giving up money and all these things to go and fight. And then all of a sudden, they're trying to recruit new people, and these people are showing up on the battlefield, and they're just wanting to get a selfie of them out. They want to look the part. And I thought, isn't that interesting? The me-centeredness of today's culture, it's eroding churches, it's eroding every organization. Now, I'm glad to see some organizations being eroded, right? Glad to see that happening to Al-Qaeda. But how about the church? The thing that Jesus is doing in the world, if there's anything that we should be giving ourselves to, it should be to see the work of Jesus furthered and promoted and to see others coming and being a part of that. And this church, it's been sustained by the faithfulness of many older generations, people older generation. They've sustained this church. And one of the things that we're going to need as we move forward is, are we able to recruit people of a younger generation to say, hey, I want to invest my life in the church? We can't be dependent on the fumes of past generations. We got to be coming and going all in and saying, hey, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to further this. I want to make sure that people can gather on a Sunday morning and hear the Word of God taught. We can't take that for granted anymore. There's a cost. There's a cost of following Jesus. At times we feel it. It's not popular anymore to say, hey, I'm a Christian. It's not popular to be in the workplace and to say some of the things that you believe. But if we're going to be faithful to bring the salvation that is offered to us in Christ, we've got to be willing to put our lives on that. We've got to be willing to sacrifice, to serve others, and to build up the body. This is what we're called to do, part of the responsibility that we have. There's a commitment. There's a commitment of being a part of the church. Commitment to following Jesus becomes inconvenient. But let me also say, it can be deeply rewarding. Our culture believes that anything commitment, anything inconvenience isn't desirable. We just want immediate gratification. And there is a blessing that comes in commitment that you just don't find. You know, you hear things today in culture about open relationships where, well, I'm just with this person, then I'll be with that person later, and just, it is so hollow. It's so hollow. Man and I mentioned last week we celebrated 21 years of marriage. Great time. Mentioned we went out to a restaurant. I didn't tell you the backstory of some of that. You know, we were getting ready to go. I've been thinking it's a restaurant we like to go to. I've been looking forward to it. And we're heading out. It's Saturday. We've got a 6:45 reservation. I gave her the 30-minute warning and then the 15-minute warning and the 5-minute warning. And now I'm downstairs and I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, at this point, we're going to be at least 15 minutes late. And you know, I'm getting a little upset. And she's upstairs. And I kind of know what's going on. It's one of those days where just nothing seems to fit right. You know, everybody's had one of those days where it's just nothing seems to be working for you. And so I'm also having some struggles as well because it's been at least 30 minutes since I've eaten. And I'm ready to eat. And she's going to make me late. And so she finally comes down and, you know, I'm sure I said something. I'm sure I reminded her again of how long it takes to get there and when we're going to get there. And she reminded me again that her outfit didn't look the way she wanted it to look. And so anyway, we get in the car and I'm thinking, great, this is going to be a fun dinner where we're mad at each other and, you know, all this stuff going on. And I've learned over the years, just talk to her. I just want to sit there and be quiet and sulk on it and be mad. And I also, one thing I've learned as a husband, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. And I realized I want to just sit here until she owns her mess and apologizes. But I can't read that verse and wait for her. Jesus came to me, not when I was had it together. I was a mess. I need to do the same thing. So I just started talking to her. And I realized, you know, when she came down, she said she was worried about her dress being appropriate for where we were going. I said, it's fine. And in that moment, she needed some reassurance. She needed hey, baby, you're fine. She needed that. What she got was, baby, you're fine. Don't make me late for dinner. And so we start talking through that. There's a big difference in those two statements, all right? And so we start talking through it. And we were frustrated for a bit, but then we just start talking through it, and we start understanding each other. And we've got a few years where we've been doing this. She realizes he's not trying to be mean. He just doesn't get it sometimes. And I realize I get what you wear really affects you sometimes. And so there's just more grace. There's more understanding each other. And what was really neat is we talked through it on the way. We had talked through it a little bit more, just realizing we're both dealing with different things that can cause insecurities and frustrations. When you're not committed, you just don't feel that. You don't get to know one another. A depth of relationship. And one of the things we said to each other is like, babe, I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul. Nothing's going to change that. And just hearing one another. When you hear somebody say, hey, I'm willing to sacrifice it all. Whatever you need, you've got it. Man, there's something that is so strengthening, so encouraging. We need that in relationships. You know where we discovered some of that in our relationship? It was in the church. It was in church. Learning the place of being committed and going deep with others. We found it in church. Being in small groups where there's couples 10, 15 years old, older than us, telling us these things that they've learned. It's powerful. Yes, there's responsibilities we have. Yes, it's work. Don't shy away from that. Some of the best things in life, they come through sacrifice. They come through giving others up. She doesn't want to hear, hey, babe, I love you right now, but I'm going to find something else easier later and just kind of be wherever. No, She wants to hear, baby, I love you so much, I'm willing to give it all up. Everything else, I don't care about anybody else. You're the only one. That's powerful. Commitment speaks about what we value. We want to be committed in marriages. We want to be committed in friendships. If you want good friends, make good friends. Invest in the church. Invest in the privileges and responsibilities that are here. Last thing I want to talk about is church is a family that is making Christ known. We want to make Christ known. We're not just here to have our little holy huddle, our close friends, and not care about anybody else. We want to be leveraging all that for the sake of the mission, helping others know that there's hope in Christ. Hey, you're battling this? Keep trusting in Jesus. I went through that. You can too. We want to be sharing others the life-changing grace of God. We want them to know that. This is what we are to be about as a church. We want to make Christ known. We got to remind our friends about it. We also want to make him known out in the community. Verse 20, it says, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The temple is a place that you went to know who God was. It was a place you went to learn more about him. That's the church. It's a temple. We're experiencing God. He's in our midst. We're also talking about and sharing. We want others to know that. There is a missional aspect to this family. We're not just here for our own convenience and own preferences. We're willing to sacrifice some of our privileges, some of our preferences in order to reach other people. We want to make Jesus known. That's what he calls us to. That's what we're to be as a church. We want to share our relationships with other people. The mission of the church is relational. It's relational. You know, it'd be really cool if we could just develop this awesome app that just tells everybody what they need to do. Hey, oh, you're having struggles? Hey, connect with this app. You know, if you're in the middle of the night, you need help, just connect with the app. Oh, your tire popped, you need help. The app will take care of that. Need prayer for your surgery? Hey, here's this app. No, it's not what we need. You know, we need personal relationships. Jesus meets with his people in relationships as we're together, as we're focused on him. So we want to bring people not to an app, not to a website. We want to bring people into a community. That's our mission. That's what we're trying to do as a church. And it's countercultural, right? A lot of other people are like, hey, I've got to go to a meeting. Can you just give me an app? Right? It's way more convenient. You give me the app. You don't have to mess with me. I don't have to mess with you. Hey, it's nice. That's not what Jesus calls us to. He calls us into the mess of the church. We're called to advance the mission by building relationships, by getting to know one another, not just being a place that you can come and hear a great TED talk. Hope our messages are encouraging, but that's not our primary goal. We are trying to build a community. A community of people that we're organized, we're together, we're committed, and we're seeing God work in our midst. You know, I'll just say this. I think this is a big thing, being family members. We've got to help other people understand the place of the church. We've started this, our discovery groups, where we have a 10-week journey reading key passages on what it means, what the church is supposed to be. You know, it's kind of interesting. As you go through, maybe you've been through buying and selling a house, you think through the priorities you have as a family. Well, we've been through this journey of getting a building. We had to evaluate some things. And kind of as we were going through that, you know, I'm praying for the Lord to provide. Ended up having a conversation with somebody that was in a church kind of nearby that is just struggling and probably on the verge of closing. And I was talking to him, and he said, hey, what do you think? You know, would you guys be interested in our building and just taking it? And I said, well, here's some problems that I see with what you guys are doing. And if I were to come in, we just have to shut some of these things down. And that's where he said, well, we can't do that. We can't give up some of these programs. And I looked at those programs. I said, you're expecting people to come in and know what church is, know what it involves. You just have this expectation that that's where they're supposed to be. You're not helping them get to that point. I think that's a key failure for discipling people today. We've got to help people understand what Scripture calls you to. We've got to walk them through that. We've got to talk about it. We've got to spend time on that. And I just thought, you know, it's one of those things that I think that is a dying thing, as attractive as it would be to have this building or whatever. If it's going to cost us in our mission, we've got to make Jesus known in this community. We've got to gather people around the word. That would be a deterrent to what we most need to do, what our community most needs. And so this is something that it is counterculture, what Jesus is calling us to do. We've got to be this kind of church, church that is committed, that is knows what he calls us to. And so I share that with you to encourage you, but also to call us. Do you understand the place of the church in your life? Do you understand the place of, if you're going to follow Jesus, you follow him in the church and his people. Identifying with him is identifying with his family of God. But it's also the thing that, yes, it's hard, but it's one of the most life-giving and nourishing things you can do in your walk with the Lord. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing one last song. Father, we thank you for this church family that you've given to us. We thank you for the different people that are here. It's so neat to see people of different backgrounds and cultures and professions, but coming together because we want to know you more. And I'm so grateful for the many people that lay down their privileges, their days off, even vacations at times to be a part of the church and to help others know who you are and what you're doing. And God, I just pray you continue to do this work in our church. I pray that the outward community would see people being so committed to what you call us to do that they just have to ask, what is going on? Why is this Jesus so important to you? God, help us to live different than the culture lives. Help us to be a city on a hill, a city that is distinct and separate from the world. And God, I just pray that as we come together, I pray that you would work in us, work through us, encourage and strengthen us. We have so many challenges. There's addictions, there's obstacles, there's people doing wrong things that we encounter every day. We need encouragement, we need strength, and I pray that you would use our times together to impart hope and strength to everyone who gathers. We want to celebrate your work in us. We want to thank you for this, and just we pray for more of it. We ask all this in Jesus' name.